Jesus, you are wonderful. You are Almighty God. You took on human flesh, showed us the Father, and went to the cross, dying in our place. You rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death itself, because you loved us. Father, I ask this morning that you would draw our hearts, our minds, our bodies to Jesus. That you would fill us with love and worship for you, O Lord God. That you would shape our minds and shape our hearts, Lord. That everything within us would worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start a short 2-week, Lord willing, series on baptism. We're going to look at what baptism is. We're going to also then, for some of us, going to recall our baptism as a means of boosting our faith, strengthening us in the Lord as we look back upon something that we have done in the name of the Lord. Afterwards, there will also be an opportunity. Maybe you have thought about baptism before, and you're really ready to. You haven't been baptized and would like to go forward with that. Also, maybe you haven't thought much about baptism, and through the next 2 weeks, you'll begin thinking about it. Well, after the 2 weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to sit down together and have a baptism class. It'll probably be on a Saturday. If that doesn't work, please don't let that stop you. And just get an opportunity to study more in depth what baptism is. Get an opportunity to ask questions if you have any questions together. We'll do a group for youth separately, so you don't have to be intimidated by big scary adults. But if there are adults also who would like to have a class, we can do that also. It's not, if you take the class, you have to be baptized. It just will be an opportunity to continue thinking, to continue asking questions and seeking the Lord on baptism. So that'll be our next few weeks here. Would you turn with me, please, as we consider baptism, to Matthew chapter 28, just the last few verses here, 19 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew, verses 19 and 20. And I'm actually going to read 18 through 20 to get some context. This is after Jesus' death and after his resurrection. Here is the last thing that he is saying to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. This is the final message, and they call it the Great Commission. Here's Jesus saying to the church, the founding of the church, here's what you do now. Here's what you are to be about. Here's your mission as we go forth in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is God's Word. The church's commission from our King, Jesus, to what we are to be about, who we are and what we are to be doing as followers of Jesus, as the church. There are really three things that he calls out in this passage here, and only one of them is baptism. We're going to look at all three, but I'm going to hit the other two a bit more quickly, and then we'll try to park for a little bit on baptism to try to understand better. What is baptism? Who is to be baptized? And just to get a better understanding of it in general, why we are called to be baptized, and how does Jesus view baptism? The church's commission. First, we are told that all authority in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. He's making this statement that He is God. And what He is doing as commissioning the church is coming out of who He is. Coming out of His authority as the King. The King of all kings is speaking to us. Is giving us a mission. Is giving us our marching orders. Giving us what our call is. What we are to be about. Why? Because He has all authority. You see that in verse 18. And then it goes into verse 19. The first word, therefore. I wonder how many times I've said this. And so you're sick of it, I know. But, say it again. When you're reading the Scriptures, and every time you see a therefore, ask, what's it there for? Right? Why is there a therefore there? It's connecting these two verses. Jesus isn't just listing off things like, hey, I have green hair, and I like sardines, and all authority is listed and given to me, and I want you to go and do this. No, they're connected. They're not random thoughts. Because, you could say, you could put the therefore, you could put a because in the beginning of verse 18, because all authority has been on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, this is what we do. This is what we are to be about. We are commanded by Jesus. Why? Because He has all authority. It is the basis under which Jesus gives these commands to us. Right? You know, if I come up here and say, all right, here's what you got to do. You'd be like, what? Scott, what are you talking about? Who are you? What? But Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which also, it just speaks to His divinity. That Jesus is God. He has all authority. Therefore, and He goes into three things He's stating here. First, we are to make disciples. We are to go about and make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, it's a little, the wording is a little interesting. The word go isn't just referring here to saying you have to, you know, leave the country to make disciples. Though it's implied with that also. But the go isn't a command. The go is describing the way in which we do it. I like to think of this as you go along, the command is, make disciples. As we go about our daily lives, make disciples. As we go about hearing the call from God on your specific life to go to a foreign culture, a foreign land, and make disciples. Yes, that also. But as we go about our day, our lives, be making disciples. And the make disciples is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you're, you know, getting a paycheck from the church. It's not if you've been a Christian for so long. It's not if you're some super Christian, which doesn't exist, of course, that you know, those are the ones who are to make disciples. All of us are to make disciples. And the idea of making disciples, I love that phrase, because He's not just saying, go evangelize. Like, that's all that matters. Right? Disciple making is really, it's the full spectrum. It means go about in our lives as we go about, be with, love, share, live your lives for the sake of the gospel, share the words of the gospel and the words of Scripture with people who are not Christians, who do not know Jesus, and walk with them as they move from a place of not knowing Jesus to being young in the faith and trusting Jesus, and into maturity until Jesus returns or they go to meet Jesus. Making disciples is a lifelong process here. And it's what you're starting with wherever, whoever God has placed in our realm, whoever we are communicating with, wherever they are in that spectrum, it's to meet with them and lead them further along that process of non-Christian to young Christian to growing Christian to mature Christian to receiving our reward in heaven. And others do that with us also. Can you think back? Who was it in your life that played a significant role in discipling you in Jesus? Who was it who first spoke to you of Christ? Maybe a parent. Maybe a grandparent. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe someone on the radio. Maybe you heard a Billy Graham crusade. Maybe there was a friend who came along beside you. Remember, for me, one of the first people was a woman who lived in an apartment above me in college, who started being nice to me and then eventually just started sharing the gospel with me. Though I'd heard the gospel, sort of, but never really understood it until I was a junior in college then. There's someone here who, and it could be many people too, who discipled you from not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus and to walking on. And that's what we as believers are called to do. As we go about our days, make disciples of all nations. Share the gospel. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Answer questions they may have. Ask questions that you may have. Look together with people that you encounter on who Jesus is, growing with one another, sharing the Scriptures, sharing times of prayer, encouraging them to come to church, to grow in the faith. And let us not forget these last two words of this first part of the commission here. All nations. All nations. There seems to be a shift in American Christianity away from foreign missions, which is very sad, I think. There are not as many foreign missionaries going out now, and the budgets of American churches are very much, they continue to increase in their local spending as opposed to the sending of missionaries, which is very expensive. So the whole model of the church, you know, is constantly in flux, constantly changing as worlds change around us. But that we must be involved in discipling and making disciples in all nations. There are so many nations around the world, so many people groups and languages that have not yet or do not yet have the Scriptures or a living gospel witness in their own language. So many around the world. The first call, the first commission, the first role of the church, make disciples of all nations. Secondly, we are to baptize disciples, disciples of Christ. The end of verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we want to look at this a little bit here. We are called to baptize, to be about the process of baptizing people. There's a few examples we have there's many examples, a few different types of baptism we see in the Scriptures. We have first John the Baptist, who went about calling people to repent of their sins and to make way for the coming of the Messiah. It was a baptism of repentance. People would go down to the Jordan, they would get baptized in the Jordan, and it was their way of saying, we want to repent of our sins, and we want to come back and follow God. It was also something that was a part of a Gentile who wanted to worship Yahweh, so a non-Jewish ethnic person who wanted to follow the God of Israel would then be baptized as a sign of repenting of their sins and joining, though separate, the community of faith, all before Jesus. But by far, the vast examples and literature and scriptures we have about baptism are after Jesus has been crucified and risen again. It's often connected with faith. When Peter preaches to people on the day of Pentecost, and he talks about how we killed Jesus, but God rose him from the dead, and people are cut to the heart and say, oh no, they see their sins, what should we do? It says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Is linking together faith, repentance, and baptism here. We see that it happens after someone believes. Now, I don't want to stretch this further than the text calls for here, but I think the order here is very intentional as Jesus lays this out. Go and make disciples is first. Following that, it says, baptizing them. Who's the them? I know grammar in church, right? It's a hassle, but we got to know. Who's the them? The them are the new disciples, those who have become disciples of Jesus Christ. Those are the ones to be baptized. Not baptize people and then they become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, disciples. They become disciples, then they are baptized, and then the third one, which we'll see in a minute here, is that they are taught. They're taught to obey what Jesus has said, the Word of God. Baptizing disciples. What is baptism? What is it? We saw John's baptism was because people was to call out people to repentance. If you want to repent of your sinful life, repent of your apathy towards God, then you would come and be baptized in a way of declaring to God that I want to follow you. The Christian baptism is part that, but it is very different also. First of all, and this I suspect is not going to be shocking to any of us here, baptism is not in order to be saved. We don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Our salvation is solely upon the grace of God given through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? There's no believe and trust in Jesus and there's no and anything, right? It's not about it's not for our salvation. The often quoted example of that is the thief on the cross. Thief on the cross turns in repentance to Jesus saying, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, surely I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross did not, between that moment and when he died a few hours later, get down from the cross and get baptized. There was no baptism there. And yet Jesus is saying, you are going to be in heaven with me. Okay? Just one example, and we can walk through many more of those, and we will walk through more of those during the baptism class. That we'll have. It is not for salvation. What baptism is then is an outward symbol, I'm going to use the word symbol instead of sign, an outward symbol of an inward reality, of our inner faith. That we don't see our faith, others in our community don't see our faith, which is how we are saved. But baptism then is an outward expression and proclamation of our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith, coming to faith in Christ, is an individual. It's with us and God. Baptism, then, is an outward expression showing that we believe, identifying ourselves publicly with Christ, proclaiming the gospel, we'll get to that in a second, the gospel of Jesus Christ, within the context of the church, of the community of faith. So our salvation is one-on-one with God, but then we go about, we don't just go about being one-on-one. We are adopted into the family of God. We are part of the body. We're grafted into the vine, that we come together now as a people, not just an individual. And baptism then is an outward expression of our faith with God. Identifying with God's people now, declaring, I believe, and therefore I am with you. Now, it's a proclamation also, because it's not just a random sign. So, a stop sign is a sign. Now, we've all come to identify it with, it's an octagon, right? Not a hexagon, it's an octagon. Red with white letters. And we know that sign now and what it means. Hopefully, we know what that sign means. But they could have, way back when, I don't know the history of the stop sign, but they could have made it a triangle. They could have made it yellow. They could have made the lettering different. Okay? Inherent in the sign itself isn't a demonstration, a picture, an image, a symbol of what it represents. That is different than baptism. In baptism, the reason I want to use the word symbol is because the act itself represents, pictures, declares, proclaims, shouts forth, preaches the gospel. Just like we always say, Jesus' miracles aren't random. He didn't just say, look at my power, I'll turn the blue sky red. We go, wow, he's got a lot of power. His miracles tell us something about the kingdom of God and about who he is, right? I say this all the time. Cast out demons. No demons, no evil in the kingdom of God. He heals people. There's no disease. He raises people from the dead. There's no death in the kingdom of God. He forgives sin because there's, praise the Lord, there's no sin in the kingdom of God. But in baptism, as you go into the waters, it represents the death of Jesus Christ. And as we come up from the waters, it represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of which we are now partakers of. And so we too have died with Christ. Romans 6. And raise again with Christ. So the very act itself says something about what we believe. Isn't that awesome? That's so powerful. And also then, if there are non-believers watching, there's a picture there of what the gospel is. That Jesus died and rose again, and that we, through faith in Him, though we were dead, yet we are now alive. It's a symbol, an image of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism is an outward expression of our inner faith, shared with the community of faith. Well, who is baptized? And I just already spoke to this a little bit, and but just, you know, I just want to say it again. That baptism, I believe very firmly from the Scriptures, is for believers, for those who have believed. See this over and over again. We'll look at an example next week, Lord willing, of the same thing, of someone coming to faith and then saying, why shouldn't I be baptized? That it follows faith. Doesn't have examples here of a specific age in which someone is to be baptized. There's not a description of that in the scriptures anywhere here. Various churches and denominations have tried to wrestle with that, to kind of wrestle with the idea of is someone a believer or not. But it's also not the responsibility. And there's no human who can judge whether you're a believer or not. Now, if we live our lives amongst each other and we are demonstrating continual, unrepentant a fruit of evil, and then you ask me, well, you know, do you think I'm saved, though I care less about Jesus and all the, you know. Well, okay, that we can end, we have to be in speaking to one another and helping one another to know of our salvation. But it's not, the church doesn't declare someone saved or not. But it is for all of us here that baptism is for those who are saved, who are already born again, as a testimony to say, church, I believe in Jesus. I am identifying with Jesus. I am part of the kingdom of God because of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I reject Satan, and I reject the worldly kingdom, and I am in the kingdom of God. I remember my own baptism so well. I became a believer at the end of my junior year of college, and then after my senior year of college, went on a short-term mission trip for the summer, and then started working with Salvation Army and InterVarsity Christian Fellowship up in Maine, attending a church up there, and they talked about a baptism class that was coming up. And so took the baptism class. Again, been a believer for about 18 months or so. Yeah, about 18 months. And it was a nighttime service that they had, and there were a couple other of people from the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship who were going to be baptized that night also. And it was just such a special, special time. They had a baptistry, a baptismal tank. This is a baptismal tank under here. These come up, in case you haven't seen it before. I don't want to flip communion over, but kind of can walk down from one side and walk back up. And while, like I say, the scriptures do say it's not in order to be saved, there was something very, very special. I felt the presence of God in a very special way at my baptism, as those who are part of the Christian Fellowship gathered around to hear me and watch me proclaim my allegiance to Christ. Very, very special, as I was baptized as a believer, as an outward sign of the inward reality of faith in Jesus Christ. Being baptized. It's also a call for all believers. It's not just for some. As I said, baptism isn't in order for us to be saved. But the scriptures, this is a command from Christ that all believers to be baptized. Now, we can talk modes and all those things, and you know, whether it's immersion or whether it's sprinkling. We'll talk more about that next week. But that all believers are called to be baptized and identified publicly with Christ. The church's commission: first, make disciples. Second, baptize disciples. Third, teach disciples. We are to teach disciples. Verse 20, and teaching them, we'll get that next week, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So we go about, we make disciples, introduce people to Jesus Christ, and walk with them as they and we grow in Christ throughout our lives. We're baptized after we believe in Jesus Christ, proclaiming to the world that we are, that we believe in Jesus. And we also now teach one another. So teaching implies also that we are to be learning all that Jesus has said, all that Jesus has commanded. We teach each other the Word of God, not just for our heads, not just to take a test. Not like you have the Christian test or something that you get to take in your life. No, it's teaching us to obey the commands of God. Because what it really is, we are taught and we learn the words of Christ so that our lives are changed. So that we, over time, walk more and more in Christ. That we image forth more accurately as time goes on who Jesus is. We go about our lives thinking, I know everything to know about Jesus, and then we read the scriptures and go, oh my word, I didn't know that. I didn't know some of how God calls me and what He commands of me. We can't know on our own. Romans 1 declares that we can look at creation and go, God is powerful. But we can't look at creation and say, because of Christ, I'm to love my enemy. Because of Christ, I am to pray for my enemies. Because of Christ, I am to love, we are to love one another and give to one another and sacrifice for one another. And as we learn and as we disciple each other, we teach each other and we learn from each other more and more what it means to walk in Christ and how we walk in Christ. And then we go and we do it. It's about our transformed lives. Not just about having a lot of head knowledge, as I said, about what Jesus says. No, we learn it. We teach one another so that our lives are transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As over time, we resemble more and more Jesus. The church's commission: make disciples, baptize disciples, teach disciples. I encourage you, if you have been baptized, think back on that. What was that like? Martin Luther would say something very outlandish, or sounds outlandish to us at first, and I think needs caveating. He would say, as he stands in a singular moment, a present tense moment, and says, I know I am saved because I was baptized. He is not saying baptism is what saved him. He is saying, as he sits here and wrestles with faith and comes to crisis of faith, part of what he does is he looks back on his baptism and says, I know that I declare before the Lord and the community of faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. I could testify to that. Can remember when the dark cloud comes of doubt and question, we can look back on the work that God has done in our lives, the times God has revealed Himself powerfully in our lives, markers that God has placed, pillars that God has placed in our lives, and one of those is baptism. So I'd encourage you this week to remember your baptism. And if you were an infant, to remember what it means. I also then would encourage you that if you have not yet been baptized, talk to the Lord. First, seek Him and say, do I trust You for salvation? Am I born again? Ask that question of the Lord and of yourself. Seek Him. Am I born again? If so, He calls us to be baptized. Come back next week. We'll look at another passage and then consider if you would like to learn more and ask more questions going into a baptism class. It's not a very long one. We as the church, we are called to believe in Jesus Christ. We are called to be baptized. And we are called by the Lord to be constantly learning and teaching the words of Jesus so that we would live in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your grace to us, that You died on the cross, that when we believe, You wash away our sins and adopt us into Your family, that we can be born again, not because of something we do, but because of what Jesus has done. Thank You, O Lord. But Lord, it's not just about being saved. When we are saved, You call us into Your kingdom, into Your family, into Your body. And You've given us a commission, the King's commission, that we be about and go about making disciples, baptizing disciples, teaching disciples to walk and live in You. I pray, O Lord, that You would help us as First Baptist Church of Holliston, Lord, to take up Your commission, Your command, and faithfully make disciples, baptize disciples, and teach disciples, Lord. I do pray, Father, that You would help all of us to remember our baptism and to rejoice in You. Strengthen our faith. And I pray for those who have not yet been baptized, Lord, that You would lead them to take this step of faith and of testimony, Lord, of who You are for them, of who You are. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.